Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I said I was going to come up with a new opening, and I didn't, so we're just going to go with what we've been doing. I am Mark Cook, alongside, to my right, Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
Longtime publisher of Pewter Report. The man bun himself, he is directly across the table from me. Trevor Sycama, the latest addition to the Trevor Report staff. We're actually going to rename it.
Wow.
I mean, let's be honest with you. He's getting all the love these days.
The rookie for that to take it's, place.
Well,
he?
he's made an impression on people.
He's like our O.J. Howard is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. Yes. He's our O.J. Howard.
I'll take that.
No, more like a Chris Godwin. Because I'm not as impressed with O.J. as some people are. I'm more impressed with Chris Godwin, but we'll get into that.
Are you more impressed with me than O.J.?
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, right. Anyway, Mr. Juice.
As far as I know, you haven't killed anybody.
Mr. Juice.
Right, and allegedly killed because he was found innocent. Let's just face it.
He was found not guilty.
Not guilty.
Juice
well,
is
that's
loose.
True. Yeah. All right, anyway, another day of training camp in the books. We all three smell like we
Hot
have
one
been,
out there.
You know, out paving asphalt roads or roofing all day. But we're sitting far enough away from each other.
We actually helped out with the indoor practice facility after,
that's
right?
That's true.
Threw on the hard hats and just were like, hey, we're already sweaty. Might as well help them out. Did y'all
get your OSHA certification training email back in?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just want to make sure because they're not going to let us climb up there again.
In the words of Anthony Altair today, our French-Canadian training
say
camp
it.
Diary, that was effing hot out there today, man.
it was effing hot. I'm not gonna lie. And Trevor, that's not gonna be the title of the podcast. I already see the wheels turning in his head.
It was already effing hot.
But anyway, in all seriousness, it was a warm one. We got spoiled with some rain and some overcast conditions. Not only did we get spoiled, but these players as well got spoiled a little bit.
You know who's feeling the heat right now? Nick Folk, because Roberto Aguayo had the day of all days today.
Yeah.
He looked like not just an NFL kicker, not just an NFL starting kicker. He looked like a damn Pro Bowl kicker out there today.
Yeah, he wasn't just sneaking them through the uprights.
No.
Listen, and Florida State fans can attest to this. When you go back and watch Roberto Aguayo.
Here we go.
I'm serious. Aguayo didn't just make field goals.
Yeah.
He put them right down the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 times out of 10. I mean, he just that's why I was so surprised that he struggled the way that he did last year. But whatever confidence level that he was missing last year, and I talked to somebody out on the field, somebody in the Bucks front office, and he said, it's just that. It's just confidence.
Yeah.
And today he kicked with confidence.
I spoke with Rondé Barber after practice. He was out here today. He's not only the legendary Bucks cornerback, but he's also part of the Bucks broadcast team for the television station that carry the preseason games.
Channel 8, WFLA.
There you go.
Good friend Dan Lucas.
Yep. And
Annie Sabo.
Yeah, Annie Sabo. Yep. And so we were talking about it, and he said, you know, the thing is competition always helps, always makes you better. And there's been some Buccaneer players in years past that have just been given the job, and they've failed miserably. Kyle Moore, back in the day, the defensive end. Sabu Piscatelli, just handed the job because of their draft status.
Charles McRae.
Yeah.
Eric Curry.
Yep.
Keith McCants. The
Didn't
list
earn
is
it
long.
Just because they were, you know, a top pick or a second or third round pick. They got the job. And I think that looking back now, and I don't want to put words in Jason Light's mouth, but in my opinion, and I think Light might concur, the biggest mistake that he made in the whole Roberto Aguayo situation was not necessarily drafting him. It was cutting Connor Barth right afterwards.
But,
and I think the reason why he did that was he wanted Connor to have a chance to get on another team.
But Scott, I've thought about that as well, too. There was no way that's the only way he could do it when you move up in the second round. If Roberto was a 6th round draft pick and you cut Connor Barth and there was no competition, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
Nobody would have believed, including Connor Barth, that there was a legitimate competition.
It doesn't matter. It at the end of the day, even if it's rigged, even if you're going to go with the 2nd round pick regardless, right. And I understand Jason has a good relationship with Connor. It was probably like, hey, man, I want to do you a solid and get you out there early. But the reality is sometimes as a general manager, you have got to be a bit of a prick. Sometimes you have to understand that your main job is to do what's in the best interest of your football team. And sometimes that means hanging on to a guy and saying, you know what, Connor, you're going to find a job. It's going to come in September when, you know, you want it to be in April or May. But we need you for training camp. If something happens with the kid,
right.
If he, you know, if he gets hurt, if he has a case of the yips, whatever it is, we're going to need you there. And chances are we're going to keep him over you because he's in the second round pick.
Right.
But I think having that level of competition in training camp, it only makes you better. That's what Barber said. He's like, you have to have competition at every position. It's going to make you better. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that with Chris Conte and Keith Tandy getting pushed by J.J. Wilcox, especially.
Yeah, Wilcox for sure. Yeah.
And so I think that you have to have that. Look at Cam Brate. I mean, Cam is his own worst critic and his own driver when it comes to his level of confidence.
Also
and his
not
level,
a great singer.
A terrible singer, actually. But when it comes to Cam, I mean, he is out there 30 minutes before practice, 45 minutes after practice. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he feels threatened by O.J. Howard. But, you know, the Bucs use a first-round draft pick after you catch 8 touchdowns to to lead the league for all the tight ends. And they're going to draft another tight end in the first round.
You know who else is out there early and staying late? O.J. Howard.
Yes.
And I think O.J. Howard is doing that because Cam Brate's doing that.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it, you know, I wonder if it would be that case if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, like if either of those guys weren't here,
right?
Would whichever one was be doing all of this?
You know who would have preferred to have Connor Barth here last year?
Everyone?
Roberto Aguayo and everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Roberto said it when I talked to him out at Winston's football camp. He said, listen, even at Florida State, they brought in walk-ins every year. And we were in the meeting rooms and we would kick after, you know, it was just me.
Yeah,
it was just me. They handed me the job. You know, there was nobody to bounce ideas off of. Sometimes as a kicker, and again, most people know this, my son's a kicker. Now, it's a lonely world. Mm-hmm. And
so you should have brought your son in to camp.
He's more qualified. Well, he's more qualified to talk about this than you.
Probably.
Can we get Douglas on the phone and have him talk about this instead of Mark?
Let me go to the phone lines
he's
here real quick.
He's not the orator that I am.
You're calling number three.
Yeah, no. Jay, listen, Roberto could have used that. Absolutely. I think it would have made him a better kicker last year. And again, especially with a guy like Connor who was a veteran guy who's seen it all, who's went through slumps himself. And Roberto has never been in a slump his whole life.
And for Connor, you know, Connor's a great teammate too. I don't think there would have been any animosity or anything like that. I think in hindsight, that was what really kind of fouled up the works at the kicker position. But, you know, right now they brought in Nick Folk, and through 1 week, I think the clear winner for week one was Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah, which you know, and you have to think that Jason Light deep down wants that to work out because, you know, he's already cut Austin Seferian Jenkins. And, you know, fans are going to beat a general manager up if you miss in the first three rounds particularly.
Yes.
You know, sixth, seventh round guys, whatever.
And keep in mind, this is a guy that has drafted Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and Quan Alexander and Ali Marpet. You know, it's some really good players.
And but, found guys on the scrap heap, including a guy like Cameron Brate, who was in a New Orleans uniform 2 years ago on the sideline when the Bucs played him early in the year in the Superdome.
Kevin Pamphill, a third-day gem.
Javian Elliott now.
Yeah.
We can say Javian Elliott's name.
Yep. It's interesting how fans will latch on to the one blunder that you might have, you know, in the second round, and just that's like an albatross around your neck.
You just called Roberto Aguayo a blunder.
No, we called him an albatross.
And a blunder. A blundering albatross.
A blundering albatross. There you go.
We should get that
is
sticker
that the title
and put it on
the that might be the title of the podcast?
Blundering albatross. It's not easy to say. I can't believe I said it right two times in a row.
People might be intrigued. They'd be like, wait, what is
this? I'm going to say something that's going to make Dirk Koetter hate me even more than he does.
He's listening.
Dirk,
I have him on the phone
lines. I don't
think
Dirk likes really anybody. He tolerates us, but I'd not say that he likes us.
That might be fair.
And I mentioned this to you out there, Scott, when we were watching practice today. How is this team going to get better tackling when they never tackle? This is the least physical football camp, and I've been going since my dad used to take me
that's
when I was a teenager.
That's
the most healthy, though.
Well, again, dude, I agree.
And that's why he's doing it.
How is Justin Evans going to learn how to tackle if he doesn't tackle?
That's right.
Watching film?
No.
In the preseason?
You bring up some very valid points.
No, that's a good
the
point.
The preseason
great
games
point.
Are going to be the tackling drills. Right. That's where the tackling is going to come into play. You're going to have four shots if you're Justin Evans to become a better tackler. Now, and that sounds crazy, right? Because, yes, he does need to tackle. I don't think Justin Evans is going to see the field much this year. I really don't. I have not seen him make a lot of plays.
There's
now,
not really a need to.
Yeah. You know? Now, the one thing that Dirk did say is, hey, the ball has found J.J. Wilcox. Sometimes you're doing all the right things, like Justin Evans is. The coaches are happy with him. And the ball just doesn't find you. You don't have that many opportunities to make plays because, for whatever reason, on the reps that you're in there, they're going the other way. So he did say that. The one thing that Dirk said, and it's almost like you asked him the question, but you didn't, he kind of came out and said, their whole goal, their philosophy is to get as many guys healthy for week one as possible. Yeah, that's the goal.
Right. It should be.
It is week one, we want to be at full strength with our roster. And if we're going to lose anybody, it's going to be in a game that counts, not in the preseason or training camp.
Ryan Tannehill went out with a knee injury yesterday on a scramble drill.
Well, but he had an ACL injury to begin with.
No, he didn't. He got stem cell treatments. He was fine.
No. He got stem cell treatments.
He went to a voodoo healer, and he's fine. He went to a Benny Hinn.
He had a partial tear in his ACL, and that's stem cells are not going to help that heal.
How the hell do the Dolphins front office allow that? You're a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And didn't they just pay him last year? Didn't he get a redone deal?
Don't know.
A year or two ago.
He's on his second deal. It's not on his rookie.
Right.
So, I mean, they've invested all this money. They made this commitment to him, and they allow this guy to,
it happens at the end of the season, which is fine. Get the surgery in January.
Right. This isn't a reconstruction-type surgery. This isn't
a partial ACL tear.
Yes. Partial tear, you're looking at 6 months max.
Yeah, they probably go in with a cadaver and replace the ACL. You know,
well, a cadaver can't do surgery, though, because they're dead.
No, I'm saying they went with a tendon.
Oh,
from,
the cadaver. I thought
ligament
you meant
from
like
a cadaver.
They would bring a cadaver in and be like, hey, cadaver, do the surgery.
No, they'll have an actual
surgeon. The voodoo
surgeon
part you're talking about.
Yeah, the voodoo.
They'll have a surgeon do that.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what it means is whether they're going to let the guy rest or whether they're going to put him on IR.
He
is not going to be there. I agree. I think he has to have surgery. He is not going to be the starter for week one against the Buccaneers.
No.
It's going to be Matt Moore or Jay Cutler.
It's weird because the more I've watched the NFL and really the more I've grown up, when you're younger, you kind of think that.
You mean like 2 years ago when you were younger?
Yeah. So like people above you, especially like people who run sports teams, you just think that they know what they're talking about. And a lot of times I'm noticing that that's actually not the case. Like how could you handle your quarterback, your franchise quarterback situation like that? And they might have done these things. Like do what you need to do to make sure this doesn't happen again. Right. Because now it did. And now you're screwed.
Again, you're not talking about your third string defensive tackle. You're talking about the franchise. If you don't, I mean, say what you want about Matt Moore being able to survive as long as he has in this league, but he's not Ryan Tannehill.
He might win you a game or two or a couple of games. He is not taking you to the playoffs.
No. I would take the great beard Ryan Fitzpatrick over Matt Moore.
He started in the playoffs this year.
But he didn't take him there.
I know.
Yeah, that's for sure. And
he also got rocked hard in that playoff game.
Did they win that game?
He probably doesn't want to play in the
playoffs.
He might not remember that game.
I was talking to DeMar Dotson.
He might not remember the last 2 years of his life.
After practice about the Tannehill situation, he goes, he got paid recently, right? I was like, yeah. And he goes, and then I said, yeah, and he's got that blonde model girlfriend, which might be his wife now.
It's his wife.
He goes, he's all right then. He's all right even with a bad knee. He's good.
That's what, man, I've talked to... I know people who are good friends with a lot of athletes from Florida, and when you play football, as long as you have to get to the NFL, you know, you've played all through Pee Wee's and Pop Warner and high school, and then, you know, when you play D1, you know, like when you get to the NFL, you're pretty beat up. And some of these guys, and he wouldn't tell me exactly who it was, but he said a couple of these higher drafted guys, you know, top 100 drafted guys were just saying, I'm here to get my second contract, and I'm out.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, there are some people who play in the NFL who don't love football.
Trevor, you're going to see that. I'll go back to that 2011 year. There were guys that were here to collect.
Right, they're here because it's a job.
Listen, let's just throw it out there. Daquan Bowers is a guy
that
was here. He did enjoy playing on Sundays in the games.
Sure.
But like Greg Shannon told us, he had no interest in the other 6 days of the week.
Yes. Yeah, he liked to play guitar. He's a musician, you know, and he would prefer that over whatever. We were out here during the OTAs when Daquan Bowers...
Multiple times.
Yeah, where he just opted out of reps.
Yeah,
on his knees,
breathing. Came in out of shape nearly every time. You know, and that just tells
and
a lot.
Adrian
right
Claiborne's
there.
Jumping in there and taking reps, you know, doing his reps, and then Daquan's as well.
Right.
And Todd Wash, the defensive line coach, is like, Daquan, you want to come in and take a rep?
I'm good.
You know, or he'd take a rep, right. And then he'd be done for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to see that, Trevor. I mean, players don't always have the same passion that the fans do. I mean,
one of my favorite quotes.
Fans ain't getting hit.
Yeah. Well, they're not getting paid either.
Exactly. Well, you're right, yeah. But, you know.
One of my favorite all-time quotes from John Gruden, and I had lunch with him, and he looked me right in the eye and says, you know what?
He said, the clown has no penis.
No, that was from Step Brothers.
Oh, okay.
The movie.
Yeah. Get Gruden and him mixed up all the time. Go ahead.
No, it's completely different. He said, looked at me, and he says, you know, there's two kinds of guys in the NFL. There's players and playas. I want players. And that's so true. It's like that's how you classify. Do you love the game? His autobiography is, do you love football? And, you know, and that's all he was about, was identifying guys that loved the game of football. Because those are the guys that will play through pain. Those are the guys who will put it all on the line and win you championships.
Let's not rehash the Gruden coming back to coach thing, but let's talk about Tuesday or Wednesday when he's here for his press conference. Mm-hmm. I have never seen anybody, you can say what you want about what he says, and even when he said it, you know, I'm, you know, not imminent or any whatever you want to say. That guy, you could see it in his eyes.
He misses it so bad.
He loves football.
He couldn't stop talking about the memories.
Right.
He couldn't stop.
Right.
Oh, I spent so many nights in this very room looking up at this very screen, and every time he could talk about Brad Johnson or Derek Brooks or who.
We had lunch with Greg Schiano, I don't know, a few months after he was fired, and Greg was talking about getting back into football and what he was doing. He went and met with Saban and some different coaches and ended up, of course, up at Ohio State with Urban Meyer. But you can tell he wanted to coach, but it was not even remotely close to Gruden. You know what I mean? I felt bad for the guy. I wanted to hire him. I don't even have a football team.
I stand by that story 1,000%.
Sure. Yes. Yes.
I know for a fact, and I've talked to other people that know John Gruden.
Right.
He is coming back, and you can mark it on the calendar 2 or 3 years from now.
Right.
I'm not saying it'll be 2 years when he's an empty nester because it has to be the right situation, but I would say within 2 or 3 years, you could mark it down. And Rick Stroud believes that as well. I've talked to Rick about it. Rick wrote that in his story that he believes he's coming back. And I've just talked to too many insiders that believe wholeheartedly John Gruden's coming back.
I'll bet anybody that he's coaching in.
You saw.
What year is it? What year is it now? It's 2017.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
I bet John Gruden's.
By 2020.
I would even say 2019. Yeah. I'll bet people money.
Yeah. I'll say
he's
this.
Coaching.
If this team.
Yes,
this team.
You
does
are exactly
not
right.
Meet expectations.
No. Oh yes. No! Don't do this
Gruden
to people. Don't do this to people.
John Gruden would come back here to work with Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And the
Glazers sitting there watching John Gruden talk about it.
Yep.
I guarantee you, their wheels were turning, thinking to themselves,
"If Dirt Cutter doesn't work out for whatever reason,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I tell you, that's almost blasphemous because I'll tell you what I think Dirt Cutter, when it's all said and done, that the table is set for him. If this team stays injury-free and relatively healthy and lives up to their potential and continues to ascend, I think when it's all said and done, Dirk Cutter could be the all-time winningest coach in Bucs
history. Yeah, he could have a 10- or 12-year career here in Tampa Bay.
I totally believe that's the case.
Right.
I think so.
Right. Anyway, all right, let's get back to today's camp a little bit. Some of the things that we saw. Chris Baker.
Did you see Chris Baker?
I did.
Where was he?
Sidelines.
He spent an awful lot of time on the sidelines.
I tell you what, that is a big man, though. I was watching him sign autographs. So he has an ass as big as this door. I don't know how he gets through doors. and I'm not saying that in a perfect way.
Can't teach girth.
I'm going, you know, with Akeem Spence, one of my favorite Buccaneers, and I still chat with Akeem occasionally. He's up in Detroit now. You know, but I see the size. And Akeem was pound for pound, probably, and the name player said this, probably the strongest guy on this team the last couple of years. But he could still be moved a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Baker gets set and gets his feet pushed in the locked in the ground,
he's
I don't
about
know
330. I mean, Akeem is about 305.
Right.
He's a big dude, but he's short.
Right.
You know? But yeah, Baker is huge. And I talked with Jay Hayes, the defensive line coach. And they really wanted to get bigger, and I think that's obvious in getting Baker and getting Stevie Tuikulavatu. Having
you nailed it.
Yeah, I did. Right?
Nice.
About time.
You've been practicing in front of the mirror
3-4 months ago. You know, Silver Saliga is here. Clinton McDonald's put on 10 pounds. He's up to 300 pounds now.
The whole difference, I don't care what anybody says. Will Golston. They are bigger guys this year. George Johnson, I was watching him today. I was like, George Johnson has put on weight.
Yeah,
Will Golston's up to 290.
The only one who hasn't is Spence. Spence lost weight, right?
No, he actually put on weight.
Did he?
Believe it or not. He just reproportioned it.
Okay, okay.
Muscle.
He went from like 230 to 242.
Not that it's like noticeable. I didn't mean to say that. It's just like everybody else has been like getting beef, hitting Hungry Howie's buffet 3 times a week. And Noah Spence trying to get shredded.
Yeah, what's noticeable is that everyone else has gotten bigger. Noah is still the small guy.
Right.
But by the fact that everyone else is bigger, it makes him look smaller.
It does. You know? Yeah, yeah.
And I think Gerald's getting bigger too. Gerald does not talk about his weight at all.
Gerald is bigger, absolutely. We mentioned that at a press conference earlier this year.
305, 310, in the years past he's been under 300. So.
You know, and let's talk about second contracts. William
Golston. They think Gerald under 300? Really?
I think 295. Wow, yeah, okay. 7 years.
All right.
Warren Sapp used to do that. He used to play with his weight sometimes. Remember that? You know, he would, you know, he said, I'm going to slim down.
1998, he was huge. Yep. He came back. He must have been 320 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a big dude.
And then 1 year he got down to like 299.
Yeah.
He stopped eating after 6 p.m. at night and trimmed down. But he wasn't as effective, he said. And he ended up the following year coming back, putting some more weight back on. These guys try different things from time to time.
Will Golston was down to 265. I believe in 2014, Lubby's first year, because he wanted like undersized, fast guys.
Will Golston is a man.
He is.
He is a man. And you know what? We haven't. I don't think we've talked enough. Everybody talks about the defensive line and Noah Spence and what he's going to do. And no, Will Golston is not a 12, 15 sack guy. But he is a guy that can pick guys up and throw them around like ragdolls. He's kind of like Bam Bam on the Flintstones, right?
Yes.
Doesn't know his own strength.
Right.
That's what Will Golston kind of reminds me of. And I'm looking forward to seeing, because we talk about second contracts, and you mentioned, Trevor, you know, guys play, you just want to get their second contract, and then they kind of check out. I don't think you're going to see that for William Golston. He loves football.
Yeah,
he absolutely loves playing football. I can't wait to see what he's going to do this year. But his future is secure. He's got the deal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to worry about those things.
He told me yesterday when I talked to him about his weight and about Noah Spence and other things, he said, I want to be a sack guy. I want to be a guy, and I don't think he has any illusions he's going to become a double-digit sack guy, but he wants to be more than a 3-sack guy.
He can be a 7-sack guy.
I think he wants to be like a 7-sack guy.
And he has the strength, and he's not slow. He's not Gerald McCoy quick out of the breaks, but he has the ability to beat guys around the edge from time to time.
Yeah.
The problem with with Will, and I used to goof with him in the locker room. I don't know if it was last year, maybe the year before. I remember a game at New Orleans where he probably could have sacked Drew Brees 3 times.
Yeah.
But he bit on the pump fake.
Yeah.
And he jumps.
Yeah, you got to
know.
He
likes
to
jump. You know what I mean? If he just takes a sack and just goes straight ahead, he crushes Brees. And he's like, man, he says, I know it's coming, and I still fall for it every time. So little things like that, once he gets better at that, those 3 sacks turn into 7 sack seasons.
It's a good defensive line. I mean, Ayers, Baker, McCoy, Golston, and then as long as the pass rushers come to play.
It's interesting because with Jacquees Smith out, Ryan Russell has gotten a lot of reps.
Yeah, he's the next pass rush guy. Yeah.
He's starting in nickel rush opposite Noah Spence.
I don't know a lot about Ryan Russell. Have you seen much of him other than?
He's got 1 sack. It came against Russell Wilson last year in the Seahawks game. And he's just one of those guys that you think is going to come out of nowhere.
Like a cadaver.
You know what I
he's incredibly serious about the game of football. Very quiet.
You know what I would love to see is, and I'm noticing this, the practices that they go through, the pass rush drills are one-on-one. Devontae Bond can rush. Devontae Bond gets into a different gear when he can pin his ears back, whether they send him on a blitz or whether he's doing the one-on-one drill with somebody. Like, it does not matter if it is a tight end, fullback, whoever. Devontae Bond gets by people. Yeah.
But you know what Devontae Bond has got to do? Just like O.J. Howard or Cameron Brate, they want to catch balls, right? Devontae Bond wants to rush the passer. But if you're going to play that specific position, there's other things you have to do. And so he's got to figure out those nuances of covering, going into coverage sometimes, setting an edge on the run plays and things like that. They can't afford to have that guy as just a specialty pass rusher.
Right, right. And there was a play a couple days ago where he was playing that Sam role, so he was close to the line on the strong side, right, where the tight end was. And it was Brait who was actually in line. And Brait just immediately, one step, swim move, he's gone. Yeah. Because if Brait, if Brait gets even with you, you're done. He's got you.
Well, that's the difference between a Harvard and an Oklahoma education, let's be honest.
That's exactly true. I mean, he's a Big 12 guy. Brait's
a smart guy.
No doubt about it.
Let's, real quick, another linebacker. Scott and I were watching the same thing today. There was a play where it was O.J. Howard. And Kendall Beckwith,
smoked him.
It wasn't. It was like mirror you out there. I mean, that was unfair.
I felt bad for Kendall.
He was trying as hard as he could.
I don't see at this stage, and maybe Kendall Beckwith still has some recovery to do to get back his full speed. Like, maybe he's got to lose some weight.
You know, like
Maybe we haven't seen the optimum Kendall Beckwith right now in terms of athleticism and speed, but. Looking at Devontae Bond and how fast of an athlete he is, and Beckwith, I don't think Beckwith is ever going to contend for the starting Sam linebacker job. I don't think that he has, at this point in his career, with what he's shown so far, the ability to cover people 10 yards down the field. I think that they have him in the middle to do that zone stuff where he is kind of patrolling the middle of the field, watching the slants and the drag routes. But you get this guy 10 yards down the field, and the separation is huge.
He just does not have, and whether it's because of his knee or whatever, he just does not have the speed to cover a semi-fast tight end at this point.
If you guys want more details on that, you can read my cover 3 I wrote on him 2 months ago because it's about spot on.
You nailed it. You did nail it.
It's almost like film doesn't lie.
That's watch him end up being Defensive Rookie of the Year somehow in the NFL.
Yeah. It might just be because of a lot of tackles, though.
Yeah, I'll go on record and say.
He can tackle.
And I went on record years ago. I was so against the Michael Clayton draft pick and the Cadillac Williams draft pick.
Yeah.
And
how dare
and
you?
Those dudes came out and had great rookie seasons and were like the next this and the next that.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, did I miss that?
Cadillac's in the Hall of Fame after a second game against
third game.
Yeah,
his cleats are in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, right. I'm like, wow. But in the end,
wait, what were his cleats in the Hall of Fame for?
Most yards by a rookie in the first three games.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
He had like close to 400 yards.
Do you have to eat crow on that one?
Kind of that year, but then as their careers went on and fizzled out,
there was some made a tackle on the sideline that blew out Cadillac's knee.
Wow, well, let's not talk about that.
That was him, wasn't it at Carolina that happened?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
How much did Panthers pay you?
Speaking of bad draft choices.
Where are you going with this?
You could go anywhere.
Dalvin Cook, he's going to run. I was telling Scott, we were talking on the way into work today. I was like, Dalvin's going to run for 221 yards against the Bucs.
Not 200 yards, 221 yards.
Now, the Bucs are going to win by 1 point. It's going to be 24-23.
Dalvin's so good. Yeah. And everything I read about him over the Vikings, it's just, everybody's like, oh, wow, Dalvin's really good. And it's like, oh, yeah, no crap, he's good.
Right. And USF's Marlon Mack's getting a lot of pub right now in Indianapolis.
It's the thing with running backs. You look at this running back class, and we sit here and we go, where do you draft these guys? Because they're all good.
Yeah.
So then everybody's price tag goes
down. Are you impressed with what you've seen thus far from Jeremy McNichols? Does he scream starting caliber running back to you right now?
Not starting caliber, but honestly, he is better than I thought he was going to be. Yes.
Okay. I think he's as good as I thought he was going to be.
Okay, I do think he is a little bit better than I thought early on. Okay. Because, let's face it, I mean, when you play at Boise State, the offense is kind of built around you. Yeah. It's to get you touches. You're going to get yards. Like, that's just the thing. Yeah. I'm not really that impressed with somebody who plays at Boise State where the offense is built around
them
to get yards.
It was almost like a Hawaii quarterback under June Jones. You can pencil him in.
Colt Brennan, yeah.
You can pencil him in for 4,000 yards.
So that's why I looked at Jeremy McNichols and I was like, oh, there's these little things here and there to like, but I don't know because I think some of these yards could just be like fake yards.
Well, I saw him in a couple. It wasn't goal line they were doing, but it was some red zone stuff down here where he got a couple carries late in practice.
He's going to make the team, though.
He's going to make the team probably, but it didn't. Nothing stood out. I was like, all right, here's an opportunity. Yeah. Here's his opportunity.
And I guess that's what I'm saying is I think.
Yeah, but he's a week into the NFL,
you
know?
He's faster than Peyton Barber is, but I don't know that there are. I mean, there are different types of players. I think McNichols is more of a pure pass catcher.
Yeah.
Barber's more.
He's
flat.
He's just
back.
Flashed a little bit more than I thought. Yeah.
While I forget this, I may be the only one at this table that believes this. I think Charles Sims has had a decent camp. I think Charles Sims looks more like a running back this year. I've seen him on some running plays.
I think he looks better as a runner. Unfortunately for him, he's dropped two passes on back-to-back days. But in terms of running, right. What you're saying, right. Yeah, I see it.
I don't. It just he's not struck dancing me a couple as much. Times. Yes, that's the thing I've noticed about Charles Sims a little bit. And I think
I'm
going to
wait until the games. Until
he may not even
make
this football team. But
opinion known about
well,
this.
If but, he didn't make this football team, I'll be shocked. And there's going to be a lot of fantasy football people who are going to be pissed.
But I think we talk about Doug being motivated and some of these other guys being motivated. I think that Charles Sims has heard the same things, you know, that we've talked about and even written about a little bit, about him being maybe a bubble guy or this could be his last year. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy. But if he stays healthy, if they could get the production they got out of him, when we talk about Doug and he is that tandem that led the NFL, the running back duo 2 years ago, if he gets back to some of that, he is a unique player in space with the football.
Those first 3 weeks, if Rodgers and Sims can do what we think they can do, they'll be fine. The running game's going to be fine. Sims is always going to be Rodgers is always going to be the consistent guy, right. The early down back who can get the yards forward, average 4 yards a carry. He's never going to give you 150 yards in a game or something, but if you can have
playing the 49ers.
Well, if you can have a little smash and dash with those guys, you can survive those first 3 weeks. Minnesota might be tough.
I wish Sims would understand, and it's something I used to tell the running backs when I coach football, you know, listen, get me 4 yards, don't lose me two. I understand by losing me two, you're trying to get a 70-yard gain out of it. Yeah. I think we see that with Sims a little bit. He wants every play to be 40, 50 yards down the field. You know, take what the defense gives you. If you keep doing that, eventually you're going to break one just on your natural athletic ability.
That's why Jacquizz Rodgers has got the trust of Dirk Cutter.
But I'm seeing a more smooth-running Charles Sims, and maybe I'm the only one that sees
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to wait until preseason games to form my opinion.
Those are the things. Normally, Scott, I don't, and I do hate preseason. I'm just going to be honest with you. But after when the starters go out, I'm half-heartedly watching. I have to watch because it's my game. But I think this year, I was thinking about that coming in, because some of these draft picks are going to be playing in the second and third quarter of these preseason games.
They've
got the luxury of not having to draft seven guys and count on them to be starters. Right. And so it's going to be – I think it's going to make for a more interesting preseason.
Jeremy McNichols is going to get a ton of touches against the Washington Redskins in the fourth game.
I think if OJ and Chris Godwin are playing on the second teams, they're going to torch people.
Yeah.
In the preseason.
They should.
Because, like, today they were running
the problem is
they're running the 1 minute
drill. Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the Godwin. So there's always that.
Right, but they were running that 1 minute drill today, and they were running, I think it was another 1 minute drill the other day. Chris Godwin's on the second team just because they want to keep the same three starters on the first one. And out of those two combined days, the first three plays of each, five of them were Godwin targets, four of them were catches. Mm-hmm. When he comes into the game in the preseason, he might get like eight catches.
I tweeted yesterday or day before yesterday, I want to see his birth certificate. I don't believe this guy's a rookie. And somebody should try and rip the mask off of him. Maybe he's the villain from Scooby-Doo because there's something mysterious about this guy.
And I would have got away with it,
too. This is not the same guy we saw at the rookie minicamp.
You crazy kids.
We foil Godwin. He's actually like 30 or 28. I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for those podcasts. Yes.
But, I mean, it's just right. He does not look like a rookie.
Let me throw this out there to you guys. Doug Martin looked breakaway fast, incredibly eager during the OTAs and the minicamp. I have not seen that breakneck type of speed, of dashing ability. I don't know if he is just pacing himself during training camp. Do you guys notice that too? Have you noticed that, or am I just reading into this a little too
much? You hate Doug Martin.
Just you.
Okay. Yeah. Doug Martin is still the most talented running back out there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It just, to me,
I haven't noticed it.
If you would notice it, Trevor, if you were here 2 years ago. From the start of the offseason, the year before he got the new contract, there just was something about Doug Martin every time he stepped on the football field.
Right.
Doug Martin didn't just take a carry and get 3 or 4 yards and they blow the whistle.
He ran everything down. To the house.
Every house. You know.
But he did it like his life was on the line.
Right.
He did it like he was...
Right.
Every carry was like he was running out of a burning building.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know. Maybe he's pacing himself right now. Maybe he doesn't want to blow a hammy in training.
Maybe Dirk doesn't want him to do that.
Right. Maybe he has told him, hey, we like your effort, but we need you healthy.
Right. But I'm just saying, I've noticed a little bit of a downshift in the gears.
Still more than last training camp?
Yes, still more than last training
camp. But
not what
we saw 2015.
I'm going to get the message boards on fire with the comments.
But you know
what?
I'm
not trying to start anything.
But I'll say
this.
It's
already started. There's 15 comments. They've already listened live.
A whole lot, so I'll pay attention more tomorrow on that and give you a better idea because I haven't really... You know, I just assume Doug's Doug.
He still looks good. Right. He still is the most talented running back out here by far. I'm not knocking Doug Martin. I'm just saying I've just noticed him downshifting the gears a little bit since the OTAs and the minicamp.
Did you guys notice Jude Ajayi-Barima when he was coming off? He took his shoulder pads and jersey off, but he put his helmet on when he walked off the field today.
With the visor, too.
With the visor.
He's got a visor on that.
He's trying to be mysterious. He tried to walk by me without
trying
me
not to make eye contact is what he's doing.
Yeah. So he avoided me. But he had the helmet on just in case. Yeah. He came down
we
to
took the jersey off so you couldn't see the 38.
Right, and I knew who it was.
Yeah.
I've studied him.
Yeah.
Oh, I study him every single day. Yeah. I know his every movement. I'm just biding my time. And now there's a restraining order being slid under the door where we're doing the podcast.
Right, yeah.
All right. Hey, this is what we're going to do, guys. Shorter, more frequent podcasts. We just went about 35, 36 minutes. Seemed to go over well. Continue to give us comments, feedback, things you'd like to hear. We've got some ideas coming up. We've got some guests coming up that we're going to have that I think you guys will be really pleased to hear. But what we need you to do is subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe on all the platforms.
iTunes.
You can find it.
Take your parents' phones, both of them.
Sure.
Just go to iTunes, subscribe to it. Yep. Take all your friends' phones, whatever.
And it's nice because you know what? You might not be on Pewter Report. You might not know there's a new one out. Like I have subscribed in iTunes, I get an icon, boom, there's a new one. I'm like, okay, good. Not that I want to hear myself again. That's not true. I do. But for other podcasts I subscribe to, it's nice when you got a long drive and you're like, oh, great, I forgot I got a new podcast, and it reminds you. So the subscription thing is a neat thing. We don't mind you listening through our website and through the SoundCloud browser, but try and subscribe if you can. Is that it? Anything
That's
else?
That's it.
All right, great job,
home.
Guys. It is Friday. We got the weekend. Oh, wait, no, we're working tomorrow. Yep. Never mind. I was going to say.
We'll probably do another.
This is our Thursday. You know how people always say, like, when they're off on Friday?
This
they're
is
like,
my
this
Friday.
This is my Friday. Yeah. This is our Thursday.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Shut up.
We'll probably do another podcast Monday after. We'll have Saturday's practice in the books, Monday's practice.
I can't make it.
So.
Yeah, I've got a bad back.
Can't make it.
Yeah, you might be doing it solo.
It's just great.
Just on your phone.
30 minutes of Reynolds.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Hey, I appreciate it. Everybody listening, spread the word. Follow us at pewterreport.com on Twitter. Instagram really blowing up. We've gained almost, 200 or 300 followers in the last few weeks since camp started. Continue to follow us there. Patronize our sponsor. Click those links. Even if you're not in the area, give them a call. Shoot them an email. Say thanks for being a part of Pewter Report. We would appreciate that greatly as well. I am Mark Cook for Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, and we'll see you next time on the next edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.